A resurrection story this year comes from the Gospel of Luke, verse 12, verses of the 24th chapter. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were there, perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. I promise to keep this short. Please clap. No more than 25 minutes. Did you notice in your worship bulletin the title of this sermon? I may be the only preacher who has ever entitled an Easter sermon, "Promote What You Love Instead of Bashing What You Hate." Here's how it came about. Earlier this week, my Facebook newsfeed included this anonymous quote posted by the folks at the Celtic Christian Tradition. And I encourage you to like their Facebook page. It's wonderful. It's not a new quote, but it's one that's found its way around the internet again recently. And I reposted it on my Facebook page with the following interpretation. "While it is right to speak truth to power and to speak out against injustice and oppression, which I do hate, I find wisdom in these words. Let us speak words that encourage and build others up." Well, what does that have to do with Easter? If you've attended previous Easter services here at College Hill, you would have heard me preach, as I often do, over and against a lot of orthodox, traditional Christian doctrines, dogma, and biblical interpretation. And while I wouldn't go quite as far as putting it into the category of bashing what I hate, it did give me pause this week as I reflected on what I wanted to preach on this Easter Sunday. Yet is it not true that folks on both end of any spectrum, whether it be political or theological or whatever, often spend a good or great deal of time arguing against the position of the other side, sometimes to the point of demonization? And I'm afraid that this occasionally happens at Presbytery meetings. And heaven knows it's been a major part of the often pathetic goings-on in this year's presidential campaign. But as we all inherently know, but often find hard to put into practice, the better approach is not only to just say what we are against, but rather to emphasize and articulate what we are for. Therefore, instead of presenting a well-thought-out, progressive Christianity response to traditional orthodoxy's take on the doctrine of substitutionary atonement in relation to Jesus' crucifixion and the literal bodily resurrection of Jesus from the tomb, I'd like to encourage us all to think about what and how we can promote what we love about the Easter message. After all, no one can really explain the resurrection. And we can only share and point to the story in a way that can help us to experience it with wonder and awe. After all, the very heart and core of the Easter message is about hope. And anytime we encounter the sacred in Scripture, we should pay attention to how it does have the power to transform lives, yours and mine and the world. Easter story reveals that even after the execution of Jesus, the presence of Christ, God with us, remained. And that experience had a profound and empowering impact on Jesus' disciples, both those in the ancient story and the early church, and to us here and now in our day and time. Cynthia Campbell, president of McCormick Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Chicago, asks, "Where do we see Christ today?" She answers, "Out ahead of us. Where charity and love prevail over injustice and violence, where compassion and hope replace cynicism and despair, where peace and love take root in lives that are empty and lost, where human beings know joy and justice and dignity and delight, there Christ is present." The Easter promise of hope is this: the ways of God ultimately prevail against the attitudes, behaviors, and systems opposed to God's ways. Yes, our world is filled with injustice, oppression, violence, cynicism, despair, emptiness, loneliness, suffering, sorrow, and fear. Yet the sacred presence of God, as revealed in through the life of Jesus and through this resurrection story, is that God is always with us and within us, miraculously enabling us to experience, initiate, and participate in profound moments of love and charity and compassion, peace, joy, justice, dignity, and therefore, hope. This is what marks us as Easter people, as a resurrection community. This is the good news that gives meaning to that old proclamation, "Christ is risen, Christ is risen indeed." So instead of just bashing what we hate, a common pastime of many, including myself, we have this hope-filled message that can enable us to promote what we love. Amen. I'd like now to introduce something that's not in the bulletin. Please come forward. This is Tricia Thompson. All through Lent, we had a candle extinguishing liturgy. Now we have an Easter candle liturgy.
Loving church family, this morning as we continue our celebration, if you would respond when I proclaim today is a day of new creation, if you would respond, rejoice and be glad in it. Today is a day of new creation.
Rejoice and be glad in it.
Easter does not end our journey, it transforms it. Throughout the season of Lent, one by one, we have extinguished candles of purple until on the night of Good Friday, we saw only darkness. And yet Easter morning, we awake to see candles of white lit for us, as if to say, there is a light, a true light, a deeper light than any we can extinguish, a light within us and among us, if only we can see. A light of the moral arc of the universe. A light with the power to transform us and the world in a sacred new creation. Here is the hope and promise of today. Love does not die on Good Friday. It is reborn through Easter. Where two or three gather in the name of the sacred, where acts of kindness and compassion are given to the least of these, where people dare to challenge injustice and hatred, where we love the true light with all our hearts and minds and our neighbors as ourselves. Today is a day of new creation.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Rejoice and be glad in it indeed.